Dear friends, every year now when the kids are confirmed, I'm starting to realize how my perspective has changed. They feel pretty grown up. They look pretty young to me. And I suppose to the parents too, we get that sensation that they are growing up, they're getting big. Last year I had an eighth grader that was 6'5". And when you look at them, you realize there's a tension between their innocence and what they are going to experience in life, the challenges. And my theme for the service is, don't hide your faith. Why would anyone hide their faith? Well, I can give you some reasons, and some really not so good reasons. Sometimes it's for fear of pain and persecution or death. Yeah, you pull back. Sometimes it's because of separation from others, shunning. We call it ostracization, when a community pushes you away because you represent something they don't like. Maybe it's fear of mockery, ridicule. My goodness, if Jesus had stopped for that, for any of those reasons, we couldn't celebrate, we couldn't confirm today. Now, it's interesting how the world today seems to be on an attack of Christianity. Perhaps you feel that it's getting an attitude towards Christianity, and I suppose the cycle is pretty strong, but it's been there before. It will always be there, because Jesus comes into the world as a perfect Son of God, and he is so distinctively different that the others notice. Do you know that just 8 days ago, on a Saturday night live presentation on NBC, that there was this emphasis on mockery? Pat Boone, who's a singer, was a star of God's Not Dead 2, the sequel movie. And he came out publicly and made this statement: as much as I've enjoyed Saturday Night Live, they went over the line. And believers in God deserve an apology. There's nothing sacred at Saturday Night Live. You know, it's interesting that in today's world, it does seem at times that you can't have a mutual respect for one another. Somebody has to be right, and somebody's going to have to be subjected to mockery and ridicule. And, you know, Steve Allen was a humorist along with the same era as Pat Boone. And in fact, they were good friends. Steve Allen would have been in that same mode of Saturday Night Live. That was his kind of humor. But it's interesting to observe, a writer said that he would likely have endorsed Pat's views on this matter forcibly in the name of simple decency. For once upon a time, there were things you just didn't do. Talk about courageous. When Jesus faced down not just the Pharisees, not just his own community, but the governor, the ruler of the Roman Empire with a threat, I'm going to put you to death, aren't you scared? He wasn't. No fear of death, no fear of shunning, no fear of mockery. And you wonder why. How could he have done it? Hebrews 2 tells us, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. It means that when shame was coming at him, Jesus said, I won't yield to you. I won't change my path just because of your influence or your pressure. And that's what we're going to talk to the kids about today, about being courageous in the face of attack. You know, shame was stripping away every earthly prop that was given to Jesus. His friends gave way and ran away in abandonment. In the sense of his reputation, there was nothing left. It was all slander. In terms of his decency, he was stripped and naked. It was incredible that even in his comfort, he would give way to shame, shaming and shameful torture. Why didn't he give in? Well, it was because he trusted his Father. He trusted God, and yeah, that's a mystery how he as the Son could trust himself because he's God with his Father. But in that joyful spirit, he had the power to overcome death because the Father gave him glory forever. Let's take a look at how he endured the short-term pain for the long-term gain. You'll find in the bulletin an outline, learn to be courageous and content in Christ. The gospel, that's what this is about. And we're going to read it up there on the screen. If you want to take a look and read with me, this is Romans 1, 16, our text. I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. The gospel has the power to free us from shame forever. Now, we all know what it's like to be embarrassed, don't we? You know that feel of the flush that comes over you? Some people have it in mild ways. Some people, it's just bright red. Let's say that you were chosen for a small but precise part of a play. And the reason you didn't get the lead was because you're nervous. You don't see yourself in that role. You're having trouble even with the two lines they gave you. And so it's in the middle and it's crescendoing. You look out, it's a large group. You're now standing in front. Your heart's going boom, boom. You know your line is coming. Everybody turns to look at you. You open your mouth and you freeze. They give you a prompt, a couple of words. You look at them, you look back, you can't do a thing. They work around it, and you run off stage, and you feel like running off the planet. You're totally embarrassed. Yeah? But now what about if somebody was making fun of your mom? What if somebody was attacking your dad, your brother, your sister? And as they mocked them, they were threatening them. Would you run away? Would you go like, oh, I'm scared? No, that's mom. You come near my mom, I'm going to, at least I hope you get that much bravery up by next week. It's Mother's Day, you know? Somehow, when there's a meaningful, powerful relationship, we won't back down. Because we can see their attacks are ridiculous. And they're aimed, even if they're aimed at us, they're aimed in the wrong direction. I am not ashamed of the gospel. There's a difference between being shamed for the gospel and being ashamed of the gospel. It is true that in every life, at some point, you will experience shame for. Because to be a Christian means, and they're saying with their lives today, with their vows, they're saying, I believe in Jesus. You line up with the one that was mocked and ridiculed, and crucified. I'm not ashamed of the gospel is the same as saying I'm not ashamed of Jesus. But it is put in that term, the gospel, for a reason. The Apostle Paul understood that the gospel was the whole proclamation that changes hearts. And he says, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. We don't try to change the gospel to make it more friendly, to make it more appealing, to make it draw people in and not. But if we do change it, that is not on God's agenda because, in fact, the gospel can stand on its own feet. We avoid the feelings of shame by remembering that the gospel is going to be vindicated in the end. It's all going to come out at Judgment Day or before, that Jesus is in fact not just the Lord, but he's the one that attempted to save the very people that were crucifying him. He showed love to those who rejected and even abandoned him. You know, in today's climate, our belief can attract shaming behaviors because it is just the way I think of the world. The cycle is such that Christians are on the outs, even in our own country, and many of you are sensing and feeling this. When you come here, it's almost like you're trying to fortify yourself for another week out there a run in the bushes where people are going to ask the question, do you really believe that old stuff? When Paul says he's not ashamed, how does he do it? Does he escape by keeping himself in the best light, by putting the best foot forward, by making sure that he's always one step ahead of those accusations? You know what happened to Paul when he started to follow Christ? In 2 Corinthians, he says, I ended up in far more labors, far more imprisonments, beaten times without number, often in danger of death. 5 times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned, not the kind that Americans think of now, real rocks. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and day I've spent in the deep. I have been on frequent journeys in danger from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers on the sea, dangers among false brothers. So was he just savvy enough to stay ahead of it all? Here's what he says just before our text. I am under obligation, or I am a debtor, both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. When Paul looked out on the widespread unbelief of his day, I don't think he saw the same thing we do. You know, I think there's a tendency in America now to politicize just about everything, including the Christian faith. And so it's almost like if you're not with me, you're against me. And I think the tendency is to disdain unbelievers, to disdain those that aren't with us. And it's wrong. It's not what Paul was saying. He says, I'm a debtor. He felt so much the grace of God in his own rescue. He understood that he, as the worst of sinners, didn't deserve to be aligned with Christ, that he was in debt to Jesus for their rescue. He didn't see them as negative problems and pains. He saw them as those who, like him, needed to hear the gospel and believe. So the gospel does 2 things. It brings out shaming behaviors in the unbelieving world, but it also protects and frees those who believe from any kind of being ashamed. When we talk to them, we're going to talk about taking up their cross and following Jesus. And when you are a believer in Christ, and you know as well as I, they're going into a university world. It'll already start in high school, but by the university world, there's mockery and ridicule coming their way. You know, you can be misunderstood, yeah. You can be shamed, but you do not need to be ashamed of Jesus. It's plain and simple. There is nothing to be ashamed of. You don't have to be ashamed of your sin, and that's why we dress them in white. That's why it's such a special day, is because today proclaims what they were baptized into. It is the forgiveness of Jesus, the covering that has been in their life all the way and will take them to eternity. That was a costly deal. It was Jesus giving himself into their position. And that's the power that frees us from any kind of shame that we might sense, because in our Lord's eyes, we are perfect as Jesus. And that is a gift the world will never give. It's his peace and his assurance that makes us courageous. I don't know if you've ever noticed how proud little ones are when they figure something out. I remember when one of my sons, as a toddler, could get into my office. I think he was 2 and a half, not even. And you could put a locked door, but he knew how to open the lock, and he could open. And all of a sudden, there he is staring at me, you know, munching on something. How did you get here? You know, just proud that he could just open any. And pretty soon, we started realizing what that meant. You know, he could go anywhere he wanted at any time, out the front door, out the back door, out the garage door, you know. But there's that sense of freedom, of entitlement. I don't have to be ashamed of the gospel because I have all the protection in the world. It's a simplicity of childlike trust. But the gospel also has the power to bring us into safety and joy forever. You know, the good news that we've been proclaiming is for everyone. It says, for it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. And that is ratified throughout the book of Romans. He says, so faith comes from hearing, and the hearing from the word of God. What he is going to line up with, Paul lines up with Peter. Peter says, you've been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. And this is the word which was preached to you, which has saved you. So conversion is being saved. But the apostle is going to go on beyond that, and he's going to talk about something bigger. The book of Romans should be very precious to you. It should be something of a real companion and friend, because it unfolds for you what's already happened in God saving you from sin. It shows your election, you were planned, you were loved even before you were born, your predestination, your calling, your justification, your redemption, your sanctification. All of those things are accomplished by your connection with Christ Jesus. When Paul says, the gospel is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, here's a definition. The final triumph of the gospel brings believers to eternal safety and joy in the presence of a holy and glorious God. So it's not just that it converts someone, because in any faith you can bring someone in, but will it save you? You can go to any other religion, but will it save you in the end? Will it bring you the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation? These students have been working hard to begin to calculate and understand that there is more value in their Christian faith than in silver and gold. This faith keeps us secure through every single challenge of life. Here's what the apostle will say. He's going to say to Christians, you're always in a cycle of repentance and forgiveness, repentance and forgiveness, as we did earlier in the confession absolution. The sorrow that is according to the will of God produces a repentance without regret unto salvation, but the sorrow of the world produces death. He's talking about this future safety all the way through. In Hebrews 9, he says, Christ will appear a second time for salvation to those who eagerly await him. And then the final rescue comes. In 1 Peter, he says, believers are protected by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. This salvation that is the final triumph is what we're hoping to put into their armament, their mindset, their lifestyle, and their soul for eternity. And as you go through the service today, it should be something of a reminder. Many of you confirmed, but I bet that you're not as sharp as you were sometimes back then. It almost frightens us that they have so much knowledge now, but if they don't massage the muscle, it'll disappear, won't it? And it's amazing how much they can keep in their brains now, but they're going to need it for their hearts very soon, because they're going to be challenged. And it isn't just being courageous in the face of shaming, it's being content. It's being in Christ that you know, no matter where my life goes, there's someone else in control. That this is all part of the destiny that will last forever. In Romans 5, he says, having been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved by his life? The point of Paul's statement is very clear. The gospel is the only truth that if you bank on it day by day by day, will not only carry you through your problems, but it will carry you to eternal safety. That's what you receive in the bread and wine, the body and blood of Christ today. And that's what we are celebrating as we bring them to the Lord. Only one person can save you. And only one book has that package in the good news called the gospel. And people will ask, well, what is that gospel? It is three verbs. died, buried, and rose. Christ died. He was buried. He's a real person. Death looked like it had won, but then there's the breaking and the resurrection. And that same thing has happened in you by your conversion. You have died to sin. You have been buried under the water of baptism, and now you are raised to life. And once again, your body will be buried, but your soul will live on. So whatever it costs in your life, it's worth it. Hold fast to it. Believe it. Savor it. Stand firm on it. Cherish the gospel. And if you haven't been working in your catechism, pick it up and look it over again. If you don't remember your confirmation verse, now is a good time to go back. And I'm going to ask one more thing, and that's that you pray for these 11 students by name. Take this bulletin home. Look it through. And don't just throw it on the shelf, but say to God, be with them, protect them, and bring them to safety and joy forever in Christ. Amen.